Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Motor Mouth Mosley Radio Show. You have reached the Man Cave here in Redan, Georgia. And the phone number to dial in is 347-945-7975. I want to thank you for listening, calling in, logging on, doing all of that just to hear what old boys got to say. Got a lot of sports to talk about. Got a lot of football, a little bit of baseball. Might even throw a little basketball, a little golf in there a little bit. Man, what a group. Jeez, between NFL and NCAA football, it was just a marathon of great college and pro football games. You've had upsets. You had dominations. You got the bowl picture finally clear. And believe it or not, the BCS got lucky and it all got right. But you've got some NFL action today. It seemed like every single game was just snowed in, looked like bad weather everywhere. You've got another game tomorrow night. Dallas against Chicago. Prediction is 25 degrees, 10% precipitation. So you may not get any snow, but it's going to be cold enough for it to snow. Tonight you got a great game, Carolina against New Orleans. New Orleans just took a 31-6 lead with 9 minutes and 52 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So it looks like that's going to be pretty much a Saints win, a great bounce-back win. From that embarrassing loss they took last week up in the Pacific Northwest. And speaking of which, let's go over today's scores. You've got Indianapolis 28, Cincinnati 42, Minnesota 26, Baltimore 29. You've got Atlanta going up to the frozen tundra of Green Bay, losing 21-22. St. Louis goes down to Arizona in the desert, gets beat up 30-10. Cleveland barely loses to the New England Patriots 27-26. Seattle in a slobber knocker, in a slugfest against San Francisco. It's San Francisco 19, Seattle 17. As I mentioned on earlier episodes, those two teams play a different kind of football. They play that stand in your face, slug each other in the mouth and see who falls first. And that is exactly what happened in today's game. Two of the hardest running backs in the league, Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch. Frank Gore takes off on a 50-plus yarder to nudge San Francisco ahead. They were trailing 16-17, nudged them ahead, and they kicked the field goal, and the defense held on for the victory. Oakland goes into New York and gets beat by the Jets, 37-27. Houston on Thursday night goes down to Jacksonville and gets beat, and it cost Coach Gary Kubiak his job. He's gone. Miami 34, Pittsburgh 28. Buffalo 6, Tampa Bay 27. Looks like Coach Greg Schiano has those Buccaneers playing some decent ball over the last few weeks. I think that's about four or five victories in the last 5 or 6 weeks. So they're turning things around. I guess they're finally buying into his system, and it's starting to click. Detroit goes into Philadelphia and gets beat 34-20. I needed Detroit to win that game. Kansas City 45, Washington Redskins 10. Probably another nail in the coffin that is Mike Shanahan's career in Washington. I'm sure he's on his way out. I'm sure Daniel Snyder's not happy. And they're probably already got the works looking in for a new head coach. So that's this week's results. How did I do in my picks? Well, right now, a contingent on the Carolina-New Orleans games, which I would go ahead and say I can put to bed. I'm looking at 11-4. So I'm back to my old ways. I was sitting at 119-70 with the one tie. Went 9-7 last week. Been struggling over the last few weeks. So it was nice to be back on top. Depending upon tomorrow night's game, you got Dallas at 7-5 versus Chicago, who's 6-6. The game is being played in Chicago, outdoors, as I said. Dallas is definitely going to have their hands full if they can't get a good pass rush on the quarterback. And they allow Jay Cutler or McCown to sit back and throw the ball wherever they want to. Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall will eat the Cowboys alive. Both of them will be 1,000-yard receivers this year, unless something tragic happens to Brandon Marshall. Probably the most prolific pair of receivers in the NFL right now. And Dallas's cornerbacks, you know, they're going to be in trouble. So we'll see what's going to happen tomorrow night on the game. Again, you're listening to the Motormouth Mosley Radio Show. We're talking sports. We're talking football. And real quickly, I'm going to, based on tonight's results, tomorrow's game won't have any effect on my power rankings. But as of right now, my power rankings in the NFL goes as follows. At number five, I've got the San Francisco 49ers, I do believe. And number four, you know what? We'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. For some odd reason, things got a little jammed up, so we'll come back to that in a few minutes. What we're going to touch on now is what was a great weekend of college football. Bowl games, as I said, are now settled in. You had Michigan State doing the BCS a huge favor by knocking off Ohio State, the team, in my opinion, that just did not belong. And you had Auburn dominating. You had Auburn dominating Duke in the ACC championship. You had Auburn dominating Missouri in the ACC SEC championship. You had Florida State dominating Duke in the ACC championship. You had Oklahoma State getting beat, upset in the last regular season game against Oklahoma in that in-state rivalry, which is known as Bedlam, Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State, which set up the Texas-Baylor game as the Big 12 championship game. And Baylor, by a score of 30-10, took care of business. The Baylor Bears are the 2013 Big 12 champion, so they get an automatic bid to the BCS bowl game. And although I had my predictions last week as to how I thought the bowl games would play out, some folks decided not to listen to me, and they went ahead and they set up the bowl games as such. The bowl games are: in the Vizio BCS championship game, you've got Florida State of the SEC, ACC versus Auburn of the SEC. You've got in the AT&T Cotton Bowl, you've got Missouri versus Oklahoma State. That's an SEC Big 12 matchup. Rose Bowl by Vizio is Michigan State, which is the Big 10 champion, versus Stanford, which is the Pac-12 champion. You've got Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, which is Baylor, the Baylor Bears versus the Central Florida Knights, two teams that are making their first BCS bowl game appearances. You've got Baylor, which is the Big 12 champion at 11-1, and Central Florida, which is the American Conference champion, which is used to be known, I believe, as either the Big East. I think they used the Big East for years. They were Big East. So they're at 11-1. So they'll be playing each other in Arizona in the Fiesta Bowl. You've got the All-State Sugar Bowl, which is Oklahoma of the Big 12 versus Alabama versus the SEC, a 10-2 versus an 11-1. I'm not sure about if Oklahoma can handle a team like Alabama. I wish them nothing but the best, but I just don't know if they've got the physicality to hold up to what Alabama brings to the table. Should be a good game, still better than any game involving Ohio State as for a bowl game. You've got in the Discover Orange Bowl, you've got Clemson versus Ohio State. Now, that's going to be a decent matchup because I think Clemson, although very athletic, they tend to be somewhat up and down, and you don't always know what you're going to get. They've got a lot of talent with Taj Boyd and Sammy Watkins. They're loaded talent-wise, but they don't always seem to bring it as they should. 10-2, decent record. I mean, a very good record for in the ACC. But this will be probably another decent measuring stick for Ohio State, because as I had said earlier, and my big fault against them all season long, was that they never played anybody of any substance, that their padded record handicapped them when it comes to my rankings. So I never really promoted them very highly. They were in the top 10, but definitely not in the top 5. And we'll see what happens when they play against a team like Clemson. In the Music City Bowl, again, that has a little personal interest to me, that is Ole Miss versus Georgia Tech. Good luck, Coach Buzz and Coach Johnson, taking the Rambling Wreck up to Nashville to play against Robert Kim Dichie and the Ole Miss Rebels. In the Hawaii Bowl, Boise plays somebody. And you know what? Because it's the Hawaii Bowl, I actually wanted to know who I put down there. I could look it up real quick. My people are efforting, trying to find out for me real quick. But in all honesty, it's just the Hawaii Bowl. Hawaii's not playing in it. Not too many people care. In the Valero Alamo Bowl, you've got Oregon versus Texas. That's a Pac-10 versus a Big 12 team. And another great matchup that will be some serious football being played. And then you've got the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which is Texas A&M versus Duke. Duke, 10 wins, most wins by a Duke team in a long, long time. They were going for their 11th win when they played against Florida State in the ACC Championship. Didn't quite cut the mustard on that one. Texas A&M, somewhat of a disappointing year. But overall, most schools would be thrilled. One of the hardest schedules in the country. So they do get to go to a bowl game. They do get to play against a quality opponent. And we get one more good look at Johnny Manziel. And then the final game that I did want to touch on when it comes to college bowl games was the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. And the only reason why I mentioned that one is because it's the Midshipmen of Navy versus Middle Tennessee State. Coach Kenny Neal Matalolo and his boys doing it up big time. Wish them nothing but the best. Now, I've got a little commentary that I want to slide in. And folks, you're listening to the Motormouth Mosley radio show. I am your host, Motormouth Mosley, doing what I do, run my mouth. And the big news is these segments are now available to you on iTunes. All you have to do is log into iTunes, click on the Motormouth Mosley radio show. All 60-plus episodes will pop up. We'll be celebrating our six-month anniversary on Tuesday night. There will be 6 months and about 70 episodes of me running my mouth about 3 times a week, doing what I did. There were a couple that I missed, but there were holidays or I was sick or I was out. But a lot of episodes of you just to kind of check and see what I do, run my mouth, talk sports, and have some great conversations when folks call in. So, but my comment on the bowl situation is that you have 124 Division I FBS programs playing football in the year 2013. You've got one school, Appalachian State, which is moving up from FCS to FBS. They are in the transitional phase. So we actually have 125 schools. You've got 35 bowl games, 35 bowl games, which means 70 programs get to play in bowl games. Now, I understand that financially it's a great boom for any program that gets to go to a bowl game. It's a great atmosphere for the athletes to get to experience the bowl situation. I totally get that. I totally understand it. But in my opinion, in the opinion of Motormouth Mosley, having 35 bowl games waters down the significance of bowl games. It doesn't mean as much. When you're 6-5 and you get to go to a bowl game, it doesn't mean what it used to mean. Back in 1985, 86, back in the mid-80s, you had approximately 100, 105 Division I programs. You had 19 bowl games. So if you went to a bowl game, it meant something. Only 38 teams would qualify to go to bowl games back then. Now, which was about, you know, a little bit over a third of the schools, or right around a third of the schools would qualify to go. But now you've got over half. Over 60%, almost 60% of the schools that get to qualify to go to bowl games. That's, to me, and I also understand that coaches love the fact that they can say that they took their program to a bowl game. Because, one, it brings the school money, and for two, it's another stat that will pad their bargaining chips when it comes to jobs. So their resumes are built up off of these additional bowl games. The schools are making money off these additional bowl games, but they just don't mean as much. If you went to the Idaho Potato Bowl, that shouldn't carry as much weight as if you qualified to one of the few bowl games. But, hey, that's just me on my high horse. You know, we're going to have another four teams added to Division I next year. That'll be Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, Charlotte, which I believe used to be University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and then Old Dominion. Those schools are all going to be now Division I. So you're going to have, you know, close to 130 Division I programs. Over half of them will get to go to bowl games, and it just doesn't mean as much. But I understand. I don't like it, but I understand. This is your man, Motormouth Mosley, running his mouth about sports, talking about things he knows very little about but thinks he knows everything about. And that's just how I do. Let's see. I did want to go back and check on my rankings. Before I leave college football, I definitely got to touch on another significant happening over the weekend. And I mentioned it the other night on the show. But I do want to touch on it one more last time, and that is this whole Jameis Winston situation. I don't know what happened between those two people. I'll be the first to admit that I don't know what the conversation was. I don't know what the interaction was. And in all honesty, at this point, it's insignificant because the state attorney in the state of Florida declared there was nothing that was going to happen. There were no charges going to be pressed. There was no indictments that were going to be handed out, and it's literally a dead issue. So Jameis Winston, quarterback of Florida State, maybe to the chagrin of some people who will think that he got a pass just because he's an athlete, and then there's other people who will say he only got put in the spotlight because he was an athlete, is now free to go about his business. And will more than likely, I'm not going to say guaranteed, because you never know how the vote's going to go, but more than likely will be in New York in less than a week and receive the Heisman Trophy. The only question left is who else will get an invite. And in my opinion, I would guess that A.J. McCarron will get an invite. I would guess that Marcus Mariota will get an invite. I would guess that maybe, I think it's Andre Williams out of Boston College will get an invite. I think they will just get a free vacation. I think it will be insignificant that they will not win it. And it goes to, you know, the running back Trey, I think it's Trey Wilson for Auburn. He may get a look. He may get a look also because he's had a great season. But I don't believe that it's going to really matter. It's Jameis Winston, so that will give us two back-to-back freshmen to win the Heisman Trophy. And I don't think classification should have anything to do with it. It shouldn't be held against you. And the fact that it goes to a freshman, I think, just says a lot about where we are as athletes and how athletes are coming out prepared to play on Division I after leaving high school, and how programs are getting them ready to play with the red shirt year, so it's much quicker than before. So that's my take on that. We'll see what happens on Saturday. Got some games coming up next week, starting Thursday night, of course. We still got to finish off this week when it comes to the NFL with the game tomorrow night. But, you know, week 15 starts on Thursday, and that will be an old AFC West rivalry game against San Diego versus Denver. Another great matchup. Denver's playing probably some of the best ball in the league, and definitely not to be frowned upon is what San Diego's doing out there. But that's where we are when it comes to football. I'm going to close the door on my football talk for a little while unless somebody makes a comment on chat, and then I'll respond to that. But for the most part, that's it for football. So we're going to switch over to a little basketball. And the big news in basketball, two things. One, Indiana Pacers are playing some of the best basketball in the NBA. Miami Heat is still the team to beat until somebody beats them. Indiana lost a game on a last-second shot, I believe, by Dirk Nowitzki the other night. But I still believe that they're sitting like at 17-4, which is a great way to start the season. Big news in Lakerland is tonight is supposed to be the return of the Black Mamba. Kobe Bryant is back with the Lakers. And I believe that game is on the NBA network, and it's the Raptors against the Lakers. And again, even with Kobe back, I don't think that he played a lot of minutes. But even with him back, they're losing with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 79-70 Toronto. So that shows you how far the Lakers have fallen. I don't even think it's as much as the Raptors improving. I think it's more the Lakers have come back to the pack and become marred in the middle of the pack. We'll see how many Kobe he does, and I'm sure that they're going to gradually bring him back. But Kobe at 30, I think he's 35, is one of the great all-time NBA players. He went out last year with a torn Achilles. He's come back sooner than expected. But I'm sure that the coach, I think it's Dan Antonio, will bring him back gradually. There's no reason to push at this point. The season's not even a quarter of the way done. So, you know, you work his way back in. And then the other thing, like I said, was the play of the Indiana Pacers. But until they take out the Heat in a playoff series, the Heat is still big dog. The Heat is having some problems. Dwayne Wade is suffering some serious injuries right now, so we don't know if he'll come back or how soon he will come back. So that definitely is a little bit of a hindrance in what Miami is trying to do. And I've got a little switch over, and we'll knock it off with the last couple of minutes of being about baseball. And, yeah, it's called the Stovetop League right now. It's when baseball is doing their off season, and a lot of trades are happening, a lot of transactions are happening, some shuffling of players, and some big contracts being signed. You had Robinson Cano signed with the Seattle Mariners for like $24 million a year. Yeah, $24 million a year. Yankees let him go. Didn't offer him enough or whatever, and ended up signing three players that really, and I think Big Poppy said it best. David Ortiz, designated hitter for the Boston Red Sox, he was quoted as saying, the Yankees have lost the face of their franchise. And he said that's for the Boston Red Sox when he heard the news, that it was good news for them because now they don't have to face Robinson as much as they did when he was a Yankee. But the Yankees picked up Carlos Beltran. They paid Jacoby Ellsbury a whole bunch of money to come over and play center field from the Boston Red Sox. It didn't make a lot of sense to pay him that kind of money because he just didn't seem to be that kind of player. And then they also bought over Hiroki Kuroda. So the Yankees are making all these moves, but I really don't think that it's making them a better ball club. Yankees are known for spending money and not spending it very wisely, and I think they've just continued on with that recipe for disaster. In another transaction, former San Francisco Giant reliever Brian Wilson, not the singer for the Beach Boys, the bearded monster, has signed a one-year contract with the Dodgers. He's coming off an injury. I believe it's Tommy John injury. And he's coming off an injury, and hopefully he can help the Dodgers in their bullpen. The Rangers have made a couple of transactions in the offseason. Still not sure what's going to happen with Nelly Cruz, but they picked up Prince Fielder from Detroit in a trade for Ian Kinsler. Solidified first base. Rangers now have a solid infield. Still looking for some help at catcher. I know they bought in, I think it was Benji Molina, to coach their catchers. And they just recently, they're in contract talks with J.P. Arencibia, who has bounced around the league a little bit, but a very quality catcher. So teams are trying to, improve themselves from the outside in. As I look at the game, I see Kobe running around the court, so he's on the court. Lakers are still losing, so I don't know how soon he'll be back to being Kobe. But the NBA is better with a Kobe than without a Kobe. He's been in the league since he was 18 years old. He is a definite Hall of Famer, and would definitely like to see him bounce back and at least somewhat of the player that he was in his glory years. Folks, you're listening to the Motor Mouth Mosley Radio Show. I am your host, Motor Mouth Mosley. Had a blast talking sports. Had a blast catching up with what's been going on in football and some golf. Tiger lost his tournament, the Northwestern Mutual, today. I think it was Zach Johnson who chipped in on 18 to steal a victory from the jaws of loss. And I'm sure Tiger was disappointed, but this was one of those tournaments that has abbreviated field. I don't even think it's a normal PGA tournament. It's kind of an invitational, so it doesn't really mean a lot. Just another check for somebody. But folks, we'll be back on Tuesday night, and we're looking at having some discussions that are a little bit more personable, a little bit more direct. I'm going to have some friends on, hopefully, who have connections back in the islands in Hawaii. We're going to discuss the coaching situation there. We have some hopes, wishes, and dreams of what we hope will happen. We don't know if it will, but I, right before I sign off, I do want to give a big shout-out again to the Eastern Illinois Panthers. They knocked off Tennessee State in round two of the FCS playoff, and they beat them 51-10. Jimmy Garoppolo, who is up for the Walter Payton Award, they are a juggernaut. They are playing some great football. They're the number two ranked team in that division. Coach Dino Babers is getting a lot of love to end up somewhere else in a Division I program, and there will be a lot of Division I coaches fired within the next few weeks, and I'm sure his name will be mentioned a lot. He is a student of the Art Briles School of Coaching and Offense, and I'm sure that that will catch on with a lot, will be appealing to a lot of big-time programs. So wish him nothing but the best. Would love to see him at Hawaii, but definitely understand if a better offer is made or if Hawaii doesn't even offer it. But definitely wish the Eastern Illinois Panthers another great week. They play Townsend, I believe, on Friday, and I believe that game's going to be on ESPN2 or ESPNU, but it will be televised, and I'll be in front of my tube watching it. Have a great weekend, folks. Have been a great week. Thanks for listening, and tune in on Tuesday night for What I Gotta Say. It's been a blast. Have a great one, and talk to you soon.